The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
At this program, we're going to take a lot of calls. We've decided, let's see how many calls we can get in the program.
And then we're going to talk with Dave Cox, one of our long-term advisors here at Hanson McLean. And he's going to share with us a story about how he was able to help a client protect that person's beneficiaries from themselves.
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting story.
Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. We are glad you're here with us on this weekend.
August.
Yeah.
Long summer.
What do you mean it's been a long summer?
It's been a long summer. Some summers seem longer than others.
I'm certainly grateful for seasons.
Oh, well. Yes.
It'd be tough to live in a place that didn't really have much in the change of seasons.
I don't know. I could live in a place that doesn't, let's say Hawaii doesn't have a big change of seasons.
I couldn't live in Hawaii. I'd go crazy. Are you kidding me?
You would?
Oh, my gosh.
I love pineapple and papayas.
Okay. Coconut trees.
And swaying palms.
Anyway, both myself and my co-host here with financial.
Luau's.
Luau's. When was the last time you went to a luau?
I went to a corporate luau once in Hawaii. It was pretty bad.
I've been to a luau once, I think.
Yeah.
I've seen them from a distance, though. That's the best way to do it.
Right? It's like a wedding. I see them when I'm driving by.
Huh?
Like a wedding or a funeral when you're just driving by from a distance.
Combine them together. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors. This is a financial program.
Yeah, we talk about money.
Off topic already. Actually, we talk about helping you take your financial resources and organize them in such a manner so that you can achieve out of life those things that are important to you.
Yes. Without these products that solve every problem and without these index annuities. Variable index life, which is a big thing right now, or non-traded REITs. And I hope each and every one of you never, ever has to sit through a presentation when someone's trying to sell you any of that garbage.
Yeah. So, if you'd like to join the program, have a question for us regarding something that's going on in your world, in your financial anyway, our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And one of the things about calling the program, you don't have to list your real name. Make up a name if you want.
You make up
change
the city.
Some of the, yeah.
Yeah.
You disguise your voice. You can get one of those, something to, any way to disguise
your voice. You could get, yeah.
You could disguise your voice.
Yes.
And it would all work out great. So, anyway, 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. We're in Los Angeles talking with Craig. Craig, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, Pat and Scott. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
My question relates to my wife and I just established a revocable trust. It's funded with our house and our bank accounts. In the process of doing this, I found out that I really needed to check my beneficiaries of my IRA and 401k and my pension payouts.
Yes, there might be more assets there than you have in your revocable trust.
Exactly, and I want to be able to rule from the grave should I meet my demise and make sure my kids' money is metered out so that they don't do something foolish.
Perfect.
And so I wanted to try and get it into the trust, but what I've read and heard is that might not be a good idea, or it's difficult, or it's complex, and if you do it wrong, it could really mess things up. So I wanted to get your guys' take on that.
So do you have a spouse?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously, the
How old are your kids?
21 and 19.
And I've got a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old as well.
And do you have restrictions on the trust that doles it out over a period of time based on their age or some other factor?
Correct.
Okay. So let's assume for a moment, Craig, that both of our kids were super super responsible, and we knew that they would make only the wisest choices with their monies. Okay. So we would have our spouse listed as primary beneficiary on our retirement accounts, because that's where the bigger issue is with the tax deletion, and we'd have our children listed as contingent beneficiaries. And if, let's say, we were both killed in a car accident along with our spouse, the retirement account would go directly to the kids, the 19-year-old and the 21-year-old.
And they would...
It'd be split in half, and they would both...
manage it beautifully in a perfect world.
And they could stretch this thing out based upon their life expectancy at that time. So they can barely have to take almost no distributions for many years, and these accounts would grow and grow and grow. Perfect world. Now, like you, I'd be a little concerned that if suddenly my kids had a big chunk of cash, they might be more interested in other things than letting their money accumulate long term. So if you list your trust as the contingent beneficiary, as I have, if your trust is situated right, the trust can still accomplish those objectives. So in your trust, Craig, you've got some strings from the grave that you talked about. You've got some restrictions for your other assets. You can have those things just the same with your retirement assets. The challenge is now you've got an extra layer of complexity as far as legal issues to deal with each year, because there's going to be an attorney kind of help along with this, as well as some additional tax filings.
But it's probably worth the cost.
Because the trust would have to remain in existence. But it's probably worth the cost.
It's probably... The required minimum distribution, Scott, on those are based on...
The youngest aged beneficiary.
But because they're 19 and 21, that isn't really a big deal. If there was 19 and 45, then it would be a big deal. But 19 and 21, that isn't a big deal. I think it's a great idea to name the trust as a contingent beneficiary on these accounts. As I have myself, Scott?
Yeah, I've got my trust as contingent beneficiary. If my kids were age 40 and I didn't worry about them having a chunk of cash landing in their life.
Yeah, and they were responsible, I would probably name them as individuals. But at this age, and my kids are 21, 20, 18, and 16. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. You've already set up the trust, right?
I've set up the trust, but did not take the steps to... make the contingent beneficiaries the trust.
And some attorneys will tell you what you're doing is crazy. But the
crazy.
Why wouldn't you name the individuals? The what you're doing is achieving your objective. A little bit more expensive, but it achieves the objective.
Okay, great.
All right.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck, Craig. And Pat, I'll never forget. We see what happens when people inherit money.
Oh,
and it's
not
just an age thing.
Correct.
It's not just an age thing. The worst situation we've seen a lot of bad ones. The worst, grandma and grandpa pass on. They leave money to their kids and then down to their grandkids. Going to leave Johnny some money. Don't know if his name was Johnny, but let's just... Okay. Johnny. It was a number of years ago.
Trevor.
Actually, it was a number of years ago, so it might have been Johnny.
Okay.
Johnny, on his 16th birthday... didn't buy just like a new Mustang. He bought this hot rod thing. He spent like $10,000 on the engine.
That's crazy.
And I remember meeting with his family, and they're telling me about how their kids, and what was the allowance he was taking?
It was
like $800 a month allowance in addition to having this car stuff. And I'm thinking, this money's going to kill this kid.
You're not doing the kid any favors.
I mean, I guess it's one thing if you go to some private school in Beverly Hills and everyone has a lot of money. But when you're in a small, that's not where you went to high school.
When you stand out.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing you don't want to have happen. That's why it's important. Look, I tell you, it's important when you've got minor children that you've got the estate plan set up in place. Not only who's going to take care of those kids physically.
Who's going to take care of the money.
But who's going to take care of the money. They don't have to be the same.
And money has a tendency to make people more of what they already are. So
it can amplify.
If you're irresponsible and you got money,
you're even more irresponsible.
You're even more irresponsible.
All right. Well, let's be responsible and cut down with some calls. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Barbara in Sacramento. Barbara, you're with Hanson McLean.
You guys are so funny. So how are you advising people to budget for future medical costs?
Oh, that's a great question. That is a great question.
Unfortunately, we don't have the answer. Next caller, please.
Good
luck.
It is a big, big, big question. So there's two things that come into play. One is, what is the if your company is providing a retirement medical benefit is the first thing.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, how close are you to Medicare in terms of age and qualifying to Medicare? Mm-hmm. Because it's the gap between retirement and when you qualify for Medicare is where you have the largest amount of risk.
I believe it's a matter of time before this is my opinion. It's a matter of time before the United States has a single payer system. We're marching towards it. California recently put forward, they want to try to do it in California, which I can't imagine how one state's going to do.
I've read a couple of opinion pieces on that. They're
just trying to push the conversation.
That and the people pushing it is an agenda that makes them more electable because they actually are sponsoring that legislation.
No way, really? That's strange.
It's what we never imagined.
So anyway...
So how old are you?
Let's kind of think. So a couple weeks ago, I was in Toronto for a business meeting, Toronto, Canada, and I ended up having a long conversation with a 73-year-old man. And actually, I was there visiting the 73-year-old man. He runs a consulting business, still very much working. Actually, he has his 25-year plan that he's 3 years into.
Yeah.
Plans on working anyway.
Until he's 95.
Yeah. Interesting gentleman. But so I was talking about the medical system because Canada's plans very similar to the United Kingdom, a lot of European plans, single-payer plan. He says, we really have two systems here. He says, for most people, you're in the single-payer system. You just don't have options. And the wait time to get to a specialist is, I forget the number he said, it's 3 months or whatever it is. And then he told the story about how he had some problem. It was going to be 8 weeks before he could see the specialist.
So he went to
Chicago
and had it done.
And they told him misdiagnosis. He said, I wouldn't have lived 8 weeks.
Wow.
Told the story, right? So he's talking about this two-payer.
Which would have totally ruined his plan to work till he was 95.
But it would have protected his finances.
Perfect.
So clearly, in the Western countries that have a single-payer type plan, for those that have enough assets, they tend to pay. And same thing, you go to the United Kingdom. It's the same thing.
Actually, Scott, I've been saying it for years.
That's all they do is serve those that are cash-paying.
And they will be based on Indian casinos or Indian reservations.
In the United States. That's where you're
in the United States. I've said it for 10 years. Because they're sovereign nations and they can do.
That's, yeah. So Pat believes that we'll sing a payer system and you'll go to get your private doctor
at a tribal land. So.
You're talking about modern medicine.
Modern medicine provided in a sovereign nation.
Yeah,
which is why the guy from Canada went to the U.S.
So back to your so the so that's an interesting thing. So here, look, as we get older, we all know that our medical costs are going to increase, right? Part of the reason the medical expenses have risen so much is, one, is obviously this bureaucracy we've got in place. It's a tremendous. But two, our medicine's getting better.
It's, yeah.
We're living longer. We've got knee replacements.
Older.
Yeah. But clearly, I mean, look, and if you're getting older and you've got suddenly there's a new treatment that it wasn't before, you would have died before. Now there's this new treatment.
So I had a client.
How much will you spend for that? You might spend everything, right?
I had a client tell me this week they had a pacemaker put in. Heart pacemaker put in an outpatient surgery. He said he was in and out in less than an hour.
Drive by.
Yeah.
He never even got out of the car.
Yeah. Right there. They just come right in.
So how close are you to being Medicare eligible?
So if it's 65, 7 years.
And are you retiring now?
No.
Okay. So right now, so currently... And as Medicare will clearly change, it's going to change for those that aren't on it for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're for those retiring before they're on Medicare, it's very challenging.
Uh-huh. Extremely.
You need to budget a lot of money for insurance.
Sometimes $1,500 to $2,000 a month for a couple.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and if you've got the assets, then that's one thing. But oftentimes we'll talk to someone, if they don't have a work-based medical plan, that's one of the... One of the impediments to an early retirement is medical.
Right.
So the closer you are to Medicare eligibility, then you buy a Medicare supplement, and they're a lot less expensive.
Medicare supplements are inexpensive.
Right.
A lot less expensive.
Okay. And most people we've talked to on Medicare tend to, I'm just talking like, some, it. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like it under current things. But the longer we, the further we got in the future on for medicine and medical costs.
The murkier the vision.
Yeah. Yep. But so you want to make sure you have enough assets to be able to fund those things though at that time. That's
right.
That's one clear thing.
All right,
Barbara.
Well, you guys, it's been a great show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Glad you called. Our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Let's now talk with Cindy. Cindy, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, good morning. My question has to do with an upcoming retirement that my husband and I are going to have to take.
Okay.
We are planning to retire at the end of this year, and my husband is 59 and I'm 64. We owe about $330,000 on our mortgage, and our house is worth currently about twice that much. In total retirement savings, we have it all in a 401k, and it's about $700,000. I'm currently working part-time, and I am taking Social Security, and that totals about $3,000 a month. That's prior to taxes. Other than our house payment, we do have one recurring monthly payment of about $900 a month, and that'll be paid off at the yes.
Did you say what was your age? What age?
64.
I'm 64. I'm 64. I'm partially retired. I work part time from home.
Yeah.
So right now we really have two. Recurring payments. One's our mortgage, of course, and the principal on that's about $2,500 a month. And then we have another monthly payment, which we're on track to pay off completely at the end of 2018, and that's about $900 a month. So because we really have to retire for many reasons at the end of this year, we're trying to make a decision as to whether we should take some of this 401k money and simply pay off the mortgage or invest that money and then get payouts because we're going to need payouts help us with the home payment.
How much money does your husband make now?
He makes about $100,000 a year.
And is there any pension or anything once he retires?
Actually, yes. And we're trying also to decide how long to wait on that. We want to try to save that because it's going to
If you took it today, how much would that pension be?
It would be about $200 a month.
Okay.
$200 a month.
That's
not a lot.
So I think we're going to give you an answer that you need to hear, whether you want to hear it. You need to get
that's
a smaller.
That's what I want.
You need a smaller house.
You need to downsize.
Okay.
Retirement will, at this home, retirement will not be comfortable.
I see.
That is just the reality of it. Replacing that $100,000 in his income is going to be very, very, very difficult. And he's still 3 years away from
Social Security.
Yes.
So either you can move out of the state of California or to a lower income area. If you've ever considered that, now would be the time to explore it. But most certainly, you need to downsize this home, and preferably.
If you don't, you're 5-6 years from now,
you'll do it anyway.
You're going to be in bad shape.
It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable that you're going to downsize.
That is certainly something we talk about. It's very helpful to hear you all say that.
Yeah,
and look, it's not. let's say you had a house of valued at $330,000. It's not going to be quite the house you're in now, but it's not going to change life that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where that monthly payment will change your life.
Because it'll end up eating down your 401k to the point where you're going to end up where you're not going to have any income.
And you'll still end up getting rid of the house.
Yes. Just later.
It's mm-hmm. just later.
If you do it now, you can shore up your finances. You don't have a mortgage.
So here's what I would recommend. You need to go through what we call our 7 personal decision points. If you've listened to this radio show at all, it's a program that we have designed for people specifically like you that are in this retirement transition that helps you understand what your financial future will look like. It will give you some income projections about what it will look like. We take a look at your debt, and you walk away and you say, this is the home I can afford, or this is the home I can't afford, and this is what my income will look like. It sounds like your husband is in a job where it is going away.
Or health issues.
If the job is going away, he might find himself wanting to actually re-enter the market rather than a full-time retirement for financial reasons. But going through the exercise of the seven personal decision points will be insightful for you. It will allow you to look 3, 5, 7, 10 years into the future and get comfortable with what, because obviously you're uncomfortable with the decisions you're making now, or you wouldn't have called the show and said, what do you think? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there, you've got some tough decisions to make.
Okay. Well,
I mean, you've got some savings.
Help.
You do have some savings. You worked hard to save the $700,000.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can swing. I mean, you can swing this.
Just not going to be comfortable.
But the house will, the bigger the house, it's not just the mortgage payment, as you know.
It's the garage door break.
All that stuff, right?
The sprinklers, the water.
It just never ends.
So appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, Cindy. Wish you well.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's got the tough decisions to make in retirement transition.
You know, I think it's even tough decisions in retirement transition, but I think also even along the way, it's interesting, Pat, how we get we put value in material objects.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't realize the true cost. And what I mean by cost, not the dollar amount, but what we might be sacrificing.
The alternative.
Yes.
Right? Not only that, but carrying cost. There's an alternative cost. There's carrying cost. There's an insurance cost. There's upkeep. There's so many things that are involved in owning
anything.
An asset.
Well, I don't care. House, car, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
And clearly we see people who don't save enough for retirement because they've got too much in cars or too much in house.
But and people will make lives. Like, there's a big move into the small houses, right?
Well, that's how they see these tiny houses.
Well, and I like the concept, except the houses are too small.
Well, the teeny house, what do they call them?
Like the little trailers.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't live in one of those.
Yeah. Well, you could.
I'd still be living better than a lot of the world.
That's a good point. But there's all kinds of costs associated. And the cost that you have to really pay attention to is the alternative cost. Or we talk about with clients sometimes, which is you can own that house. You can have that big, huge swimming pool. You could drive those cars. You just can't vacation. You just can't take trips in retirement.
Or can't have dinner out with friends.
Yeah, you could do it for a period time. You can make it work for a period of time. But realistically, you can't make it work for 15 or 20 or 25 years. And you wanted an advisor. You want to talk to someone that's going to tell you what you need to hear. Not necessarily what you want to hear. I'd rather not have the client and give the good advice.
Of course. Obviously.
Yeah. And all the advisors at Hanson McLean feel the same way.
But, Pat, oftentimes we'll meet with somebody, maybe they're mid-50s, 60, they're looking at retirement, and in their current structure, they can't quite swing it, right? Can't quite swing it in their current structure. But then we look at some life's oftentimes a series of trade-offs.
Yeah. That wasn't their current structure 30 years ago.
It's what it is today. And so oftentimes just being as financial advisors, we sit down and say, well, here's a couple options. You can change this here and this will free up these things here, or you can make a modification here and it'll have an impact over here. And sometimes people just going through that, it could be illuminating for them and say,
yeah. Or sometimes you split the difference. I do a little here and less there.
Maybe. All right. Maybe I work another 4 years, even though I wasn't planning on it, or maybe I retire from what I'm doing and do some part-time work for a period of time to make that happen. Or maybe I make this other change. But it's really about making some modifications. And
actually, we talk a little bit about this at our workshops. And we have an upcoming workshop on Social Security. This one focuses on Social Security and how that integrates into your retirement income stream.
Yeah, you have your 401k income. How does Social Security integrate with that? You have some other retirement income or pension. How do you integrate it all together? When's the best time to take Social Security, et cetera?
Yeah, and so we have these workshops in the Denver area the week of August 9th. We have them on Wednesday, August 9th, 10th, and 12th. In the San Francisco Bay Area, we have two workshops, August 10th and August 12th. And in Sacramento, we have them the week of the 16th. We have three workshops the week of the 16th.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So for more information and to get registered, you do need to register. It's free, though. Go to HanselMcLean.com on the workshop tab, and you get all the information you need, and you can sign up. Over 99% of people who have attended our workshop says that they are better prepared for retirement as a result. So come to our workshop. If you'd like to join the program, have a question for us regarding something that's going on in your world, in your financial anyway, our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And one of the things about calling the program, you don't have to list your real name. Make up a name if you want. And we need to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Yeah, glad you're sticking around for more of our program. And I know one thing.
What's that?
We are enjoying ourselves.
It's a good
time. And that's probably what's the most important.
Right. If you...
Self first. You got to love yourself first. Take care of yourself.
All right, enough. 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 I did want to... I want to talk about this. You, Scott, were quoted in a U.S. News article recently.
Okay.
And the question you were, the article was about, and you could find this on our website, HansonMcLean.com. But Scott was quoted extensively throughout this article on U.S. News. And the question was, the title of the article was, should you use your retirement saving to start a business? And we get this occasionally, this question occasionally in our offices.
Yeah.
And our advisors get it occasionally.
And here's the thing. There are more businesses started today of people over age 50 than there are people in their 20s. So although we read about the stories of the
20-year-old
college dropouts that start the next huge business or whatever, there are more people age 50 and older who are starting businesses than there are people in their 20s.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, great. The danger is, and you can go on our website and get more information on the article, but the danger really is it's blowing up your retirement savings.
How much and when do you use your retirement savings?
I remember years ago having a client that they had a retail establishment. I won't say what kind it is because I don't want to. But it wasn't doing as to plan. It was losing money. They kept having to dig in to savings, and it was always something. It was something around the corner that was about.
Of course, there was.
Right?
I mean, that's the nature of a business owner.
Yeah, you have to have some optimism and all that, right?
Yeah, so it's
but this is going to be happening.
You don't open the business saying, "Ah, oh, this is never going to work."
But I remember, I said that we need to have a number of a drop dead, and this is the you're not going to go any deeper than this on that, right? But
that the number got moved.
Yeah,
didn't
it moved. Until there was almost nothing left in the retirement. And they lost the retirement and lost the business.
That's a sad story.
It was sad. So there's some successful ones, too. You just got to be careful. So if you're thinking about it, go to our website, HansonMcLean.com. Read the blog on that.
It's an article.
Yeah.
Blogs we write. Articles are people other people write. I don't know the difference between a blog and an article.
I don't either. I think somehow we just decided to change the name from articles to blogs if they're online. I don't know what the difference is.
I don't even know what a blog means. It's got to be like an abbreviation for something.
I don't know what it means. I'm looking at it's funny. I'm looking at there's the millennials in our booth here.
None of them know.
You don't know what a blog is. See, they got names like Trevor and Trevor.
All right. And they don't even know Kyle, and they don't even know what a blog. Where's the name blog? What's the difference between a blog and an article? Millennials, get on that.
Yeah, anyway, to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Get
one,
those fancy straight-legged suits.
One triple. Keep barely walking them. I have a try one on once. I'm like, I can't wear them. I can't even move. Why would I want to suffocate all day?
The straight legs? I always wonder, how do they get
I don't mind the straight legs, but the jack was so tight, I felt like I was mummified.
How did they get the shoes? How did they get their legs into those straight little things? I don't know.
1-888-2-HANSON to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's talk to Lon. Lon, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Lon.
Nice talking to you. Been listening for a long, long time.
Okay.
I'm in a predicament. I started a beef jerky business here in Sacramento about 8 years ago, and I'm kind of stalled out. I've been making the same amount of money for the last 7 years, and I can't seem to get to the next level in the majors. I'm already in our local family-owned grocery stores.
Got it.
To get to the next level, it struck me when you guys were talking last week or 2 weeks ago about venture capitalists and flooring and how expensive it is to get real estate in a grocery store. And I was thinking, maybe you know somebody that might know somebody that could help me out.
So you're in the – most businesses are competitive, but the beef jerky industry – in the last 5 years has become a hyper-competitive food sector. Hyper.
I'm right in the middle of it.
Yeah, because
when I started. You
know, how do you know that, Pat?
My kids eat beef jerky, and you look at it like Jack's, right? So what happened is it used to be more regional, and now there's national players in it, and they're buying advertising, and they're actually trying to. It's no longer beef jerky.
I almost never buy beef jerky. If I'm going on a backpacking trip, yes. Or if I'm on a long car ride and there it's sitting in front of the...
When I want to pretend like I'm a cowboy, I always eat beef jerky.
Okay.
So the answer to the question is...
How you guys like beef jerky?
The answer to the question is there's no easy way to get into
those. You got a distribution problem.
You have a distribution problem.
Oh, man.
So are you manufacturing your own beef jerky?
I do. I have it farmed out and, through a commercial kitchen and... And they pack it and move it and distribute it.
Got it.
I'm all locked in. I've got the whole operation going. I just need to figure out a way to convince the big guys. You know, your Safeways, your Albertsons, owned by the same people.
Here's what
I want to get into Orange County.
You need to bring in an outside consultant. So there are consultants to your industry that actually deal with
your problem,
which is a distribution problem.
To be real frank, you might not have a lot of options.
They may come to you and say, you can't play in that league. So you're going to...
Or they say, you don't offer anything significantly different.
And then what happens is that you might find that you're changing your geography to go into smaller stores where it is not as competitive.
Uh-huh.
But that's what a consultant's going to tell you.
How do you get around or maybe convince someone that they're wrong?
But they might not be wrong. They may not be wrong. They might be right. What you're trying to do is you're trying to expand your niche. Is what you're trying to do. And it may not be the right move for you.
But we all see in industries, you see, I don't care what, like yogurt. There was reading about some guy, I forget the name, brand was.
Yeah.
Like phenomenal. Every once in a while you see in a competitive industry, someone just bulldozed their way through, has tremendous success. And how do they do it? I don't know.
Lon, so
fascinating.
Rather than... Then get stuck on the idea that you need to be in the big stores.
Maybe you don't need to be.
Maybe you don't need to be. Maybe you just need more geography in the smaller stores and stay in the niche you're at. I don't know the answer to that. But a consultant that understands the grocery business and you pay them by the hour or a consulting job, and they'll guide you down this strategy. So appreciate the call. But people think that they have to be. Maybe you don't. Maybe it has nothing to do. Maybe you did private label to other guys just like yourself. And they go to state fairs and sell jerky wherever. Maybe that's an answer. I don't know.
Our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
And we have an upcoming workshop on Social Security. This one focuses on Social Security and how that integrates into your retirement income stream.
You have your 401k income. How does Social Security integrate with that? You have some other retirement income or pension. How do you integrate it all together? When's the best time to take Social Security, et cetera?
Yeah. And so we have these workshops in the Denver area the week of August 9th, 10th, and 12th. In the San Francisco Bay Area, we have two workshops, August 10th and August 12th. And in Sacramento, we have them the week of the 16th. We have three workshops the week of the 16th.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So for more information and to get registered, you do need to register. It's free, though. Go to moneymatters.com. Let's talk with Dennis. Dennis, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, how can some of the mutual funds justify such high turnover rates? I mean, some of them have 50 to 100 or even more than 100% turnover. Are they churning for fees or are they just impatient? Warren Buffett wouldn't invest that way.
Well, all right, so great question. So, first of all, a mutual fund manager, this individual has a... they're trying to accomplish some objective, right? So we're talking about actively managed mutual funds here. Right. And I suppose you could go out, Dennis, and you look at, all right, let's look over some managers the last 20 years. Who's been a good, is there anyone who's beaten the S&P 500? Very few. And then you, if someone chooses for an active manager, somebody who's active, they are paying a fee in the hopes that that manager is going to be able to outperform some underlying index. They're looking for a return after expenses higher than the return they would get if they just bought a passive fund.
And my feeling on this is that what an actively managed fund where you see a lot of turnover, they're not buy and hold investors. Obviously, what they're looking for is perceived price discrepancies in the market or inefficiencies in a pricing of a particular stock or bond. So that is why
they would
trade.
But your question is, how could they justify it? You know,
well, the market does.
Yeah. So as an investor, retail investor, we all have – we vote with our pocketbook, right? So – I mean, someone could say, hey, I'm going to charge you 2% a year and I'll do a 1,000% turnover. And if there's investors willing to pay for it,
then that's how they justify it. If it wasn't justifiable, then they wouldn't exist.
But look, most of our portfolio is index funds, but the majority passive investment, because if you just look at the studies, it's. You know, because there are some academics that their strong argument is that any excess return is pure luck. And even if you look at a manager who's outperformed the indexes over the last 20 years, maybe that's pure luck.
Maybe.
You get 100 people in a room saying, we want everyone to flip a coin, and we want to see who can flip heads the most times in a row.
Someone's going to outperform everyone
else. And we
else.
Can cheer that person. Wow, look at this guy got 32 times in a row.
Nothing to do with it.
And yay, we celebrate him and give him a big raise. Maybe that's what's happening in active management.
Yes.
It could be.
We don't know.
So, but look, in the investment world, it's just like any other marketplace. You have a choice as an investor. I can choose to buy on things on Amazon, or I can choose to go into retail stores. I can choose to go into high expensive retail stores. I mean, I was talking to a guy, a couple months ago. He does women's fashion, high end women's fashion.
What do you mean? He wears it or he does it? What do you mean?
His business. He's the CEO of a company.
Okay.
High end women's fashion. And we were talking, I said, you know what baffles me? I don't understand luxury brands. Like, why someone would pay $5,000 for a purse? We'll talk about that.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, he actually did say, well, the more expensive, actually, the more cost that goes into it. I'm kind of looking at it.
Come on.
Yeah, the cost is all in the spin and the creating this. It's in the, it's like, in the branding and the marketing.
Yeah, it's like wine. What's the difference? You know, does a $250 bottle of wine cost 10 times as much to make as a $25 bottle of wine? I'm guessing not.
Not 10 times.
Not 10 times.
No, of course
I'm
not.
Sure it costs more,
yeah,
but not
more.
10
yeah,
times.
That's, okay, that's fine. So but... Yeah, look, in the marketplace, you can choose, and some people think that is absolutely absurd. Why in the world would anyone spend $5,000 on a handbag? Which I would think, personally. But there are some that want to buy it.
Or they wouldn't
exist.
It's
the same thing in the investment world. Look, there's some funds out there, triple leveraged ETF funds, I think are garbage.
But the SEC was trying to get rid of them. It's none of their business. I wouldn't buy one. I don't think that they're good for the investors, but it's not the SEC's job to determine.
Well, I don't know. There's a different whose job it is or not.
Well, obviously that they're fighting about that now, about the DOL.
Where's government's role falling on
this? Well, but even the Department of Labor rules, the fiduciary standard, now all of a sudden they're fighting over who's going to actually run it. The SEC's like, well, maybe it should be us. You're like, come on, you're late to the dance here, guys.
Anyway, if you'd like to join the program, have a question for us regarding something that's going on in your world, in your financially anyway, our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And one of the things about calling the program, you don't have to list your real name. Make up a name if you want.
You make up
change
the city.
Some of the, yeah,
yeah.
You disguise your voice. You can get one of those something to any way to disguise
your voice. You could get
You could disguise your voice.
Yes,
and it would all work out great. So anyway, 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. All right, now it's the time of our program where we talk real advice. We have one of our financial advisors join us on the radio program, talk about an experience with a client of Hanson McLean, a real-life client. But keep in mind, client's experience may be different than an experience you would have, and this is not intended to be any sort of endorsement of Hanson McLean. So let's talk with Dave Cox. And Dave, by the way, is a certified financial planner, certified fund specialist. Been with Hanson McLean for 21 years. Works primarily out of a Northern California Folsom office. Dave, thanks for being part of Hanson McLean.
Oh, hey, it's great to be back with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining the radio program today. And tell us about a situation that you encountered that you want to share with us.
Well, let me start out by, just telling our listeners, as they know, I mean, dealing with a financial planner, a good financial planner gets into a lot of different areas. And one of the areas that we help in is estate planning. Now, we're not attorneys, so this actually ties into the estate planning area. I had a client who, this was, back in the early 2000s, and she came on board around 2001, and unfortunately about 3 years later, she came in and told me that she had terminal cancer. And she did have a trust in place, so, that was the good thing. But we started talking about, the mechanics of how all this is going to work. And a good advisor, again, will work with, estate planning attorneys along with CPAs. So, we kind of work together with the client in a team effort to kind of help her out. Well, the bottom line is that she had two children that were going to be inheriting this money from her, and she had an IRA. And she had a trust account as well and some real estate. But her two children had addiction issues. So, we had to kind of overcome that. Okay, so she had language inside of her trust. How was she going to leave these monies to her two children? So she had language in there. We crafted helped craft. I mean, again, that's sending her back to her attorney to say, you guys have to kind of talk through this.
But you throw out different scenarios for her, Dave, or say, what do you think about this or this, or just... because at the end of the day, they're really, really personal decisions in a time, right, you've achieved the dream that most parents would want, which is to leave their children something. I don't know if most parents.
No, I don't know.
I know you're not particularly worried about what your kids get when you leave, Scott. But that all of a sudden something that was of value may have actually could hurt the child, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, she had done a pretty good job of accumulating wealth, but her concern now was, my gosh, I can't leave this money just outright to these two kids because of addiction issues. So, and she set it up, you know, set up her trust in a way that, you know, these monies weren't going to go to the kids outright. So there was not going to be an issue there. But what I wanted to focus on today was that she had an IRA. And for our listeners, again, when you have an IRA, you have beneficiary designations. Well, on that beneficiary designation, we named her trust as the primary beneficiary. Upon her passing, then what ends up happening is we take this IRA and we split it into two different IRAs for her two children. And they now
per the trust agreement, correct?
Per the trust agreement, per the language that says, you know, take and split these because the two kids are the beneficiaries of the trust. So we turn around and we split these IRAs into two, or split the one IRA into two separate IRAs. And now we've got an issue of, wait a second, this is a beneficiary IRA. So this has now been inherited. And because it's been inherited, money's got to come out to these beneficiaries December 31st, following the year of death. So, but she's got this issue of, they've got drug issues and drug problems, and I don't want them to, they can get this money only if they take drug tests and things like that.
Wow.
So what we did is we set up the two separate IRAs. She's got the language inside the trust that says, in order for you to receive your required minimum distribution each year, you end up having to take a drug test. And so when the money comes out, as we three know, as the money comes out now and it's forced to come out, what do? We've got a checking account set up in the name of the trust, and the money gets funneled into that checking account, and her successor trustee, which is her partner, manages those dollars and then comes to the kids and says, okay, you know, the money's here for you. You now have to take a drug test.
Wow. And did the kids comply?
Well, so, yeah. And this has been going on for many years. I mean, this is still an existing.
So we technically don't have anything to do. We as a firm, Hanson McLean, technically don't have anything to do with the beneficiaries. We have everything to do with the beneficiaries' trustee.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So
we're and she happens to be a separate client in itself.
Okay. And so these kids, do the kids comply? No, they're probably adults now. They're probably 40 or 50 or how old, you know, whatever.
Well, they were adults, you know, at the time. I mean, they're
it's a matter of your age, you can still have a drug problem.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew
that. So what's happening now, Pat?
Thank you for that, Scott.
What's happening now, unfortunately, is one of them pretty much is complying, meaning they're taking, you know, the test periodically. You know, the trustee is disseminating IRA monies along with other monies as well. But on the one, unfortunately, is not.
Oh, that's a shame.
And it is a shame. It's a tragic.
But good for your client who, you know, subsequently as she passed away, good for her to protect her children from themselves.
Yeah.
Which is that the adult children from themselves, which unfortunately happens. Mm-hmm. But good for her that, and good for you that you had the foresight to have the conversation, as hard as it may have been, to make those important critical decisions while she was still alive, because after she was gone, it's too late.
Absolutely.
Well, that's just it, too. You know, on the estate planning side, I think we all have good intentions as to, you know, we've accumulated these dollars. Here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to leave these dollars to our children. And we may, you know, most of us are lucky from the standpoint of maybe we don't have these issues with, you know, children or siblings or whoever that are inheriting the dollars. But I know a lot of times when you're talking with clients about, you know, what their wishes are and what they're trying to accomplish, sometimes they can get a little bit complicated. And this is where, again, the attorneys come into play to give that ultimate advice. But I still, you know, when I'm meeting with clients, if all things being equal, my suggestion is they keep it as simple as possible. But we know that there's going to be situations like this that you can't.
Yeah.
But keep it as simple as possible, because you end up getting some other things that happen along the way upon you passing. You end up, as we all know, of seeing siblings and other relatives end up fighting because of some of the things that you thought you were doing correctly while you were living,
yeah,
but yet the end result didn't end up being that way.
Yeah. And with the client's permission, we'll interact with the attorneys as need be.
Absolutely. In fact, in this case, I had to interact with the attorney and the CPA and just kind of coordinating a couple things that needed to get done. So it was more of the mechanics on our side to make sure that we accommodated her wishes and how these dollars come out and then go over into a checking / saving account.
Well, Dave, yeah, thank you. That was a good story. And thank you again for being part of the Hanson McLean team for 21 years.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
What did he say?
I don't know.
What did you say, Dave?
Acknowledge and ignore.
I said 21 more. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, great.
All right. There we go.
We might be wheeling him out at that point.
I don't know how many handicap parking spaces we have in the lawn.
Speaking of estate planning.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Hey, you know, it's interesting that we had Dave on there, but estate planning. I was talking with a client this last week. Wanted to make sure that they were separate assets. He was married. Wanted to make sure that his spouse had sufficient income up through, had he passed away, for her the rest of her life. But wanted the principal then to go to his children. And we see this a lot, Pat, particularly with second marriages.
Second marriage children, if you have children from a previous relationship.
And, you know, half of us in this country are going to die without a will. It's important to get some estate planning put. And the best estate plan is the one that is actually completed.
That's so, it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen where people started on a planning process that gets, sometimes you can't get it perfect. And here was a situation Dave talked about. We've got two kids that have some substance abuse problems where you're trying to protect them from.
And
but oftentimes there's.
The client didn't really address the issue until they were diagnosed with terminal cancer either.
You're right.
Right. And that was the, you know, that's what brought it to. Anyway.
But, you know, it's one of those things, if you haven't had your trust reviewed in the last decade, you really should, trust or will, you really should get it reviewed. That I know I practice for myself about every decade, I will review my trust and get things updated, because yeah, things change.
I had mine completely redone a few years ago.
Yeah, things change. And
things do change.
Your kids, one, you might have thought good things about them, and now they think bad. I'm joking.
Yeah, so if you've enjoyed this show, visit our website, HansonMcLean.com, in order to sign up for our podcast, or visit your favorite podcast distributor and type in the words HansonMcLean.com to sign up for our weekly email delivered to you free of charge.
Yeah, so again, HansonMcLean.com. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but certainly appreciated the opportunity to be here with you this week. We will see you next week as well, so enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've been listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.